your prayer this morning. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Sing that chorus with us. Time. Just let those words soak in this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
That we just sang. I don't know if most of you probably are not aware, but our staff every Tuesday morning, we spend an hour or two praying together, praying for you, praying that the Holy Spirit would be in charge of our church. That's been going on. We've been doing that for several years. This past Tuesday, Billy normally will play a little bit of music on his computer as we pray, and that song came on, and it just really stirred my heart. It's a whole song. We just sang the chorus there, but you're probably going to start hearing that more and more before we go into a time of the sermon each week, because that is our heart cry. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Is that your heart cry? And you may be new to the faith or still searching in the faith, but, God... is God the Father. We've talked about this. I've preached on it. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is God, and God's Word tells us that the Holy Spirit, when Jesus ascended back to heaven, that he sent his Holy Spirit to not just be with us and to hang out with us, but to dwell inside of us. I don't know about you, but that boggles my mind, that God himself would find me worthy to dwell inside of. And that's awesome. And so that's I hope that is your heart for our church and for yourself, because it is mine, it is our staff's, and I think it's yours. And so so we're going to sing that song more often. If you would turn with me to Psalm 103. If you are visiting with us this morning, I want to welcome you. I'm glad that you are here, and just make a note to yourself. There's a blue card in the seat in front of you, should be. That is a visitor's card, and even if it's not your first time, if you've been here for a while, there's some responses on there. We'd love to know that you were here, and there's some responses there. If you'd like to be on our email list, I generally try to send out an email once a week. I try not to bombard you with emails, but I try to send one a week that's kind of telling what's coming up and some things to be looking forward to, maybe things that are going on in our fellowship. But if you would like to be on that email list, there's a place there for you to put your email and to check a box, and there's several different responses you can have there on that blue card, and you can just leave it in the seat as you leave today. Psalm 103, I'm going to read just some isolated verses. We're going to start in verse 1, and I'll kind of keep you in the loop as we go along here where we're going. Psalm 103. This is a psalm attributed to King David. And it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And down to verse 8. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." Verse 10. "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Verse 17, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and I believe you are here. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak. Speak in power and authority. Transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Billy said earlier, I'm continuing the sermon series on the Summer of Psalms, and this week's is called, I've called it Worthy of Praise. Worthy of Praise. I want to kind of tell you that you didn't find an insert this morning. Today's sermon is going to be more, it's not going to be more of a teaching sermon, which many times I will do. Today's sermon is going to come straight from my heart. And so you'll kind of see as we work our way through this. But this psalm that we read today, Psalm 103, has a very significant place in my heart. And I'm going to kind of set the stage for why that is. First, has any of you, if you're my age or older, you watched Father Knows Best? Anybody seen Father Knows Best? If you're under 40, you probably haven't got a clue, you know. Father Knows. How about Leave It to Beaver? Okay. Well, I grew up in those. Well, you can pick either one. Go ahead and show. I grew up. Yeah. Yeah, look at my dad's flat top. I'm the cute one. I'm the cute one. If you were wondering which one, I'm the little cute one there. Mom, you were looking good. Yeah. Jay and I, just the two of us, and we had a great, yeah. I was ornery even when I was little. And Jay's smiling right there, but let me tell you, as we got older, it would have been poof. You know, it wouldn't have been a smile when I was messing with him. But that's the kind of home I grew up in, just a great mom and dad and a great home. And I remember the hours and hours of playing catch with Jay and Dad, and you've heard me talk about some of that. But about the black eye, the fly ball that Dad threw me, I wasn't ready for the fly ball and all of those kinds of things. But Jay and I would spend hours and hours playing catch. I mean, either with a baseball or with a football. And we'd just get out in the street or in the front yard, and we would just throw the ball back and forth to each other for hours. And Dad, you may have heard me say this before, Dad would get out there and throw us the football. And we thought we were like Michael Irvin, man. We'd line up and we'd run, zig and zag and do these little patterns, you know, and Dad would throw us a pass. And then we'd just keep doing that over and over. And finally, before it was over with, every little boy in the neighborhood was lined up in the line going out for passes that my dad would throw. So it was just a really neat, wonderful childhood. I was telling somebody this morning, I was born in Winters, Texas, and they said, yeah, the Winters lizards or something like this. And it's the Winters blizzards. But I was born in Winters. We moved here in about 67, And so I've been here most of my life. But on October the 1st, 1997, Jay, my older brother, he was about 3 years older than me. He turned 40. Now, show a picture of Jay there, Lee. Is Lee awake? Somebody wake Lee. There he goes. There he is. That's Jay. And that was actually, I think Jay was about 42 there. But on his birthday was August the 1st, 1997. Right, Mom? 97 is when he turned 40. Yeah. So he turned 40. And I remember going to Jay pulled up and I was messing with him, man. Because I was still in my 30s. I was in my prime, baby. And I remember when he pulled up to the curb at Mom and Dad's, and we had all this stuff, you know, we decorated inside with black stuff, and, you know, it was like mourning and all that. And I had borrowed a wheelchair. And I went out there, and I greeted Jay at his pickup. He's getting out of the pickup. I made him sit in the wheelchair, and I pushed him into the house, you know, and really gave him the business. Well, about almost 3 years later, August the 2nd, my birthday in 2000, I turned 40. And guess what? I got the business back. I remember, I still have it, Jay gave me this, it was a comb, and it was a comb that unfolded, and it had a little comb over here, and it had a little comb over here. And you get the, you know, where it combs just... Some of you slower ones, you know, somebody help them that's beside them if you don't get that. But I have my 40-year-old comb that Jay gave me, and I loved it. We had to break Cheryl in to learn how to take ribbing. I mean, the more the Hatchers love you, the more difficult it is to be in the home with us. Because I mean, we dish out, you know, grief, but that's how we show love. But anyway, between those two birthdays, that 3 years or so there in between, I was feeling this stirring into this call into ministry, and I, long story short, I responded to that call. I left my computer job. You've heard that before. I left my computer job, and I'm in this process of trying to discern what the Lord would have for me, and things were not going as I had anticipated, and lots of things were going on in that year and a half or so, and one of the things was I picked up my Bible, and I read this Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise His holy name. And I began to that just really began to stir my heart, and I made some notes in my margin. I want to pull that up, Lee, if you would. That's a copy of my Bible. This is my study Bible. I don't normally preach out of this because it's so big, but that's my study Bible. I don't know if you can read that, but it says Red 9600. That's so September the 6th, 2000. Spoke to my heart, struggling with direction for ministry, restore my spiritual youth. And so I'm in this, it's been about a year and a half or so since I left my career in the computer field, and I'm really just seeking the Lord's heart, and I read this passage, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise His holy name. And it really spoke to my heart, and I made that note in my margin. The next day, this happened. Go ahead and show that next slide and then come back to that one, if you would, Lee. That next slide, that was the headline of the front of the Abilene Reporter News on September the 8th. But the incident actually happened the day before, September the 7th, 2000. And as I was going through this study, I was going to be preaching on Psalms, I began to look back through the Psalms in my study Bible here, and I ran across this Psalms 103. And I read that again, and I read my note, and it dawned on me that was the day before Jay's accident. That was the day. It was probably, because a lot of times I read my Bible at night, so it was probably the night before Jay's accident the next day. Spoke to my heart, struggling with direction for ministry, restore my spiritual youth. And so, you know, I guess you could, a person could look at that and go, golly, that's, you know, Jeff's praising God, and the very next day, a tragic accident happens, and we lose a brother, and we lose a son, and our city lost a fine detective. God, what are you thinking, God? You know, how do we praise God in the midst of that? And I was, as I was looking back on this and reflecting on that, I thought, you know, there's nothing inappropriate about that at all, because even in the midst of this, the next day, what faced us the next day, we were still praising God. I praise God to this day because Jay knew Jesus. And even more significant than that, Jesus knew Jay and knows Jay. About 2 months prior to Jay's accident, and I've said this before too, but it sets the stage for what we're talking about. About 2 months before the accident, and Jay was big brother. If any of you have an older sibling, you know, generally the older sibling doesn't ask for the younger sibling's advice or really probably listen too much to their counsel and so forth, at least not as young men. And Jay, it was really strange of Jay to say this, but he called me one day, and he knew I was going in the ministry. He knew that Jesus had changed my life, and so I guess that's why he called me, but I wasn't in the ministry yet. And he called me, and he said, there's someone here that is having trouble forgiving themselves for things in their past, and I need you to try to explain to them grace, the grace that Jesus offers to them. And I said, and I really thought, I mean, that was a very unusual phone call for me to receive from Jay. And so I said, sure, Jay, I'd be happy to do that. And so he handed the phone to this person and began to explain grace to them. But before he handed them the phone, he said, Jeff, I want you to know, I get it. I know what Jesus has done for me. And I've tried to explain it to them, and they just can't seem to accept it. And so I'm hoping that you can say it in a different way that they'll receive. But he said, I know what Jesus has done for me, and I get it. And that was so significant. I had forgotten about that conversation. And 2 months later, Jay was gone. It's what a gift. What a gift that God gave to us, our family, for me to have that conversation with Jay 2 months before this accident. And so I can truly say, church, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Even in the midst of this tragedy. So I can remember when we went to the hospital, Jay was in that explosion that happened out on Highway 36 and was burned over 100% of his body, and we went to the burn unit there in Lubbock, and I remember the nurse coming to me and saying, you know, that our family had been a blessing to them, and I couldn't understand it because really all I was feeling at that moment and all I thought was going on was just grief. And she said, I work in the burn unit here, and we see death every day. And she said, you can tell those who have a faith in Christ, because there's one of two things going on. There's either peace or there's panic. Peace or panic. And I'll never forget that conversation with her. And she said, your family, even in the midst of the grief, has had peace. God's word says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just want to tell you, if you're in this world for very long, you're going to face trials. And I know many of you already have faced major trials in your life. This world is hard. It's broken. Has anybody noticed that but me? This world is broken, and we are broken. That's why Jesus came. He came to make us whole. He came to give us abundant life. He didn't come so that we just would survive this world. He came so that we would have abundant life. You know, I just wanted you to see that God's Word, first of all, just God's Word is alive and breathing. He speaks through His Word. Get in His Word, church. Get in His Word. Mark in your Bible. I'm so grateful and so thankful that I made that notation and I put a date on it so I knew exactly when I read that and exactly how God was stirring my heart when I read that passage. I had no idea what the next day had in store for me and my family. But God did. And I still praise Him, oh my soul. This past week, we've actually had four different family members pass away out of our fellowship in the past week or two. And one of those was a lady, y'all may have seen where I wrote about this, Marilyn Lincoln, Roy and Marilyn. They are from New York. And they're kind of, what do you call snowbirds? Is that what they call them? When they come here because our winters are milder, and then they go back in the summer because their summers are milder than here. So they would come here for the last several years in the winter and spend their winter months here with us in this fellowship, Roy and Marilyn Lincoln. Well, Roy passed away on Thursday, and I called Marilyn to visit with her. On the day, now this, I want you to hear this, on the day that Roy passed away, and they've been married 59 years. And I called Marilyn and I said, Marilyn, I'm sorry about Roy's passing. And she expressed to me a joy that Roy had said he was ready to go be with his Savior. In the latter moments of his life, that's what he was looking forward to. And she said to me this, and it really struck me, and this may not be the exact quote, but it's the gist of the quote. She said, I have a stronger desire now than ever to share the good news of Jesus. This is the day her husband of 59 years passes away. You would think that she would just be totally overwhelmed with grief, that wouldn't even have many words to say at all. But instead, she makes that statement. I have a stronger desire to share the good news of Jesus than ever before. And I said, Marilyn, why is that? And she said, because I've seen the peace that comes when we pass out from this world. She said, Roy was not dreading death. Roy was looking forward to death. Roy was looking forward to being face to face with his Savior. And she said, and I have a great joy that he now is face to face in the loving arms of his Savior. And she said, and also I have a peace that passes understanding knowing that for him. And she said, and I'm looking forward to the day I will be with my Savior and I will be with Roy as well. How does that happen except faith? When you, on the day you lose your husband of 59 years, you're more eager to share the gospel of Jesus Christ than ever before. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being praise His holy name. I just really feel this morning, I feel there's some people here. I think there's many people here who've had a long journey with the Lord, and they've had a long and strong relationship with the Lord for many years. And I think there's probably some here that maybe perhaps have been on the fence. We kind of pull God in when we need Him, and we set Him aside when things are okay, when we feel like, you know, hey, I've got this, God. And we pull Him in. Oh, I'm kind of having a little trouble now. Lord, would you come help me? Okay, now, would you step aside? I've got it now. And so many of us have that sort of a relationship with the Lord. Some of us, this is brand new stuff. Some of us, this is brand new stuff. It's like, how do you have peace in the midst of tragedy, the midst of trials, in the midst of death? How do we have peace like that? Perhaps that's you. That's maybe for a first time. And I want to. Terry, would you? Where's Terry at? Would you come to the keyboard for just a second? I want to open the altar this morning. You know, that passage, it just seems to me, I would think from the outside looking in, that could seem so ironic. You know, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. To read that and to be stirred by that, and then the next day to have something tragic happen in your family. But I just want to tell you, it's so profound to me. It's so on the money, because God walked with us through that trial. And he continues to walk with us today. We lost my dad about coming up on 2 years ago, and after a pretty tough journey with Alzheimer's and other issues and all. And, you know, I loved my dad and I loved my brother so much, and I miss them. But God is worthy of our praise. In this world, you will have trouble. But Jesus said, thanks be to God, I've overcome the world. So as Terry plays, wherever you're at in that journey, perhaps you've, like I said, perhaps you've known Jesus for years. Perhaps you've played games with Jesus. Perhaps you've never encountered Jesus in your whole life. Wherever you are in that journey, I invite you to come to the altar and just spend some time with him. If you want me or Billy, would you just kind of make yourself available? And any of our blue tags have our prayer team have the blue tags on. We'd be happy to pray with you as well. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his name. Just come if you feel so led. Everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Father, we come to you and we praise you because you are worthy of praise. Father, when things are going perfectly in our life, we praise you. And when we face trials of many kinds, we praise you. Thank you that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. You are the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. You make everything new. Thank you for the blessing and the truth of your word. Father, give us a hunger for you and a hunger for your word. Father, we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know that you walk with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us, they guide us. What we face, you are the victor. And we love you. In Jesus' name, if our praise team would come forward as we close. Stand as we close. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord and Savior of your life and you would like to talk to me more about that, seek me out after the service. God bless.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. Being praise his name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his goodness. He forgives all of my sins. crowns me with grace, crowns me with love, and I'm satisfied.
Sing praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. All my innermost being praises His name. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all His goodness.
He forgives.
He forgives all of my sins. Crowns me with grace, crowns me with love, and I'm satisfied.
For as high as the heavens above the earth,
for as high as the heavens above the earth, for those who fear His name, so great is His love. For as high
soul praise Him? Does your soul praise Him? Go and tell someone. Be blessed. God bless.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. All my innermost being praises His name. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all His goodness. And forget not all His goodness.